Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. Check out over 64 vehicles in the showroom while enjoying their in-house bistro and kids club. Mercedes-Benz Country Hills, just minutes from the airport.
Flames are still in the air as they make their way to Vancouver to kick off a four-game road trip tomorrow. They will start against the Canucks, then head to Tampa, take on the Panthers after that, and finish off 1 week from tomorrow in Pittsburgh against the Penguins. It is time for our Daily Flames Roundtable, so no Derek Wills. It's Ryan Pinder, Pat Steinberg, and Will Nault on your Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable this afternoon. Guys, let's just start with this. Did we have any problem with David Rittich being pulled about 14 minutes into that game last night? He allowed 2 goals on 6 shots and 2 goals in 63 seconds that turned a 1-0 Flames lead into a 2-1 Sharks lead. Did we have a problem with Rittich getting pulled last night?
I would have preferred if they kept him in, but certainly it was something that you would expect an NHL coach to consider at that juncture of the game to try to swing momentum. But I don't think it'll go down as, you know, the best timed pull in the history of the season. It really didn't change much. In fact, the next shot went in, as unfortunate as it was for Mike Smith, because it wasn't a softie, but just a late redirect.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I don't have a huge problem with it, but if they're in that spot again, I wonder if they don't let him ride, especially the nature of the second goal. It's a huge mistake from Sam Bennett that puts Rittich in a tough spot. It's not Rittich himself putting himself in a tough spot.
Yeah, Rittich didn't play the puck properly once he went out.
But he had to come out and play.
Exactly. He made the right call to come out and play.
That was the decision, I believe. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm not calling for Bill Peters' job here. Clearly he's done a really good job. But it raised eyebrows for sure. I'll say that.
I didn't have an issue with it because, I think I would have hated it more if it was like 5 or 6 minutes into the game instead of 6 shots. It was still a good chunk into the game, and it's funny, guys, and maybe I'm alone on this, but we praised Bill Peters all season long, it feels like, about his ability 4 or 5 shifts in to identify guys who are going. He clearly didn't believe his goaltender had it, whether you agree with it or not. He misplayed a puck behind the net early on. Then that Kane goal was awful. And then, yes, played the puck, made the wrong decision. But if we're going to praise a guy for his ability to shorten the bench and to identify guys who are going, then why can't we have the same being said for a goaltender? Now, I also understand that, yes, Mike Smith has not had the same type of treatment. There's been no early pulls really all year long until last night. So I get that maybe that's where you are a bit critical. But if we're going to praise a guy for being able to identify players who aren't going, who's to say he can't do the same with the goaltenders? And I do believe that there's something to be said that the fact that he felt Rittich didn't have it last night. And he knew it was a big game.
That's a fair comment. And for me, I'm fine with them pulling David Rittich last night if Rittich gets the opportunity to come back and play again tomorrow in Vancouver. Because
I'm a little more critical, too, if he doesn't start tomorrow.
Yeah, because I think Rittich has earned the opportunity to have a bad game, be replaced by his backup, and then come back. If this was last year and Mike Smith were pulled for Rittich or Lack or whoever the backup might have been, you know for a fact that Smith would have been back in the next game. So in this case, well, the tables have turned. One guy has been better than the other. It just so happens that Riddick's been the better of the two goalies. So Rittich gets pulled last night. He's your number one guy. He's also just happens to be the number one goaltender in the NHL on the road this year. They're starting off a four-game road trip. I don't see any reason why you don't go back to Rittich tomorrow against Vancouver. We did not get a definitive answer as to whether or not that's going to be the case. But if they go back to Rittich tomorrow and allow him to work through it and bounce back and, you know, show a little resolve and say, hey, that was a bad game, but here's what I'm all about, then I'm fine with the decision to pull him last night.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I really hope they go back to him. I think he has given this club so much for the notion that they could be quibbling with who to go to in games that matter shouldn't even be on the table right now. He's been so much better than the other guy over the course of the full season. He deserves to get right back in there.
Important to reset this, and I think you made a really good point a little earlier, because you know what? I'll give you credit. You don't make them very often. But about 2 hours ago, we were talking about this when talking specifically about David Rittich. So we are talking about the best goaltender in the NHL on the road. He is 11-4-0 away from the Saddledome with a 1.86 goals against and a ridiculous .942 save percentage. At home, though, despite having not lost in regulation in this building, he's 9-0-4, but has a 3.33 goals against and an 882 rather save percentage. But you brought up a really interesting point. That's not just on the goaltender. It's also it speaks to how the Flames have played a lot here on home ice. They play a whole lot more of a fire wagon brand of hockey. There's not as much defensive responsibility, it seems like, when they're playing on home ice.
100%. Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's a totally different philosophy at home, it feels. And look, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, that they're playing with a lot of belief at home. Now, I think it's showing up in them rolling the dice a little more than they want to do on the road. But look, it's working. Didn't work last night, but on the body of work over the course of the season at home has been very, very good, despite their higher event engagements, right?
Yeah. They are the number one scoring team in the NHL on home ice, and they also have allowed the most goals the third most goals in the NHL on home ice. So they have scored on home ice so far this season 114 goals, which is pretty crazy when you think about it. They have also allowed 90 goals in 27 home games this year, which is third worst in the NHL. So they're very much a high risk, high reward team here at the Scotiabank Saddledome, and that is that's definitely something that I think plays into the goaltending numbers. So we'll see. You certainly hope that David Rittich is the guy they go to tomorrow against the Vancouver Canucks. So the final score last night was 5-2 in favor of San Jose. Third meeting of four between these two teams this year. Gents, what did we learn? It was a heavyweight battle, a marquee matchup. What are some of your takeaways? What did you learn, or did you learn anything new about these two teams in the game that they played last night?
Evander Kane wants to see the Flames in the spring. I know that. That narrative isn't going away. That storyline, he was great and clearly loves playing this team. Getting bounces, sure, but like delivering on the big stage after all the comments post-game last time and coming in here ahead of the game. Yeah, I don't think the Sharks are, you know, we got to avoid Calgary at all costs. Kane is a big part of that.
He was a beast last night.
And I don't know how I feel about Marty Jones. The other takeaway was that they got the better net mining last night, but boy, it was close to, like, it wouldn't have been crazy to see a 5 spot up on the Calgary side with the amount of near chances, you know, the close misses that they had. And it wasn't necessarily textbook net mining from Marty Jones that kept it all out. He was all over the place, it seemed.
Yeah, the only like save that you're going away from that night and you're going, wow, what a save, was the wraparound toe save on Gaudreau.
Yeah.
That was a very good save. You're right. I mean, I certainly think the Flames had their chances. Net front scrambles and the bounces didn't go their way. Johnny Gaudreau fans on a shot. Lindholm, it's a post. So there was certainly some give and take. And I also think that's why it was a closer game than the 5-2 score indicates. So what did we learn? I think what we learned is exactly what we said pregame, Patty, and that's the fact these two teams are very evenly matched. And, you know, the gap is obviously shrunk to just 2 points now between the two teams in terms of the Pacific Division race. But I think what we also learned is that these two teams are probably going to go neck and neck for the division title from now to the end of the season, that the game on March 31st is going to be awesome. And yeah, I think the other takeaway is what we've talked about at length, and that's the fact that Evander Kane is a beast against the Flames, and they don't seem to have an answer for him. But that's probably the biggest takeaway I had, is that, you know, okay, Marty Jones might not have been impressive, but it's also what we talked about pregame. If they were to have goaltending like that all year, this team might be even more in the Flames' kitchen, if you will.
On the Evander Kane front, 9 goals and 13 points in 5 games against the Flames in just over a year, just under a year, rather, since he was acquired by the Sharks from the Buffalo Sabres. That's pretty impressive numbers.
And a 4
almost
spot.
Including a 4-goal game. Oof. Almost averaging 3 points a game against the Flames in 5 contests since he joined the Sharks.
The old Joe Thornton rooster trick. That's 4-goal game. That's big stuff.
Yeah, stroking his water bottle. That's what it's what Joe Thornton said. Joe Thornton said
that
it.
That was our boy Tom Hurdle,
that
right?
That was Hurdle in his rookie season. Who
in Vancouver, I believe, game. Of all places.
One of the most bizarre things that has ever come out of an NHLer's mouth. I don't really understand why.
I think that's probably a really normal thing to come out of an NHLer's mouth, but for it
in
to
front
end
of the
up,
media, yes.
To
yeah,
end
fair
up in
point.
The media
fair
was
point.
The only one person in the media in Vancouver of the scrum of 10 or so that overheard it actually brought it to public attention.
I mean, it raised my respect level for Joe Thornton that much more, and I already was a big fan because it was quite funny. For me,
hi, kids. I'm Joe Thornton, and meet my pal Slappy. Say hi to the kids, Slappy.
Howdy, kids!
Howdy, kids!
I love bean burritos!
Some of the things they've done, he's very good at hockey, not so good at ventriloquism.
Thousandth point as a Shark last night.
He becomes just the second Sharks player ever to record 1,000 points with the team.
The other one has to be Mike Ricci, right?
No, it was not Ricci.
Doug Huda.
Was not Igor Korolyuk either.
It was Evgeny Nabokov.
No, it wasn't Mike Rathje. It was
ugly team. Ricci and Rathje.
Owen Nolan.
Remember when Chris Simon just destroyed Mike Rathje after game, I think it was game 4 of the Western Conference Final. Sharks won in this building. I think it was a 5-2 Sharks win in game 4. And Chris Simon just went, chased Rathje down for no reason, and beat the snot out of him at the end of the game. It was an absolute
humbling. Spooky tough.
Scary,
Chris Simon, terrifying tough. Absolutely. Yeah, my biggest takeaway was that if these two teams were to meet in a playoff series, this is going to be a long series. I don't see a whole lot separating the Flames and the San Jose Sharks. They both are deep. They both play a really similar brand of hockey. And, yeah, I know the Sharks have taken 2 of 3. They've got one more still this year on March 31st. That was a really entertaining game last night, and I think it would be a really entertaining playoff series if and when they were to meet. Final topic on the roundtable, Pinder, Steinberg, and Will. Just what do we think of the Vancouver Canucks, guys? We've talked to Dan Murphy and Joey Kenward already today. They're the next opponent for the Flames. Where are we on this Canucks team? Are they going to be competitive for the rest of the year? Is the inevitable fall-off that we've been predicting for the longest time going to happen? What's our takeaways 2/3 into the season on a Canucks team tied for a playoff spot right now?
Work boots, blue collar, and I think if you're a fan of Vancouver, there's a lot to like. The next wave that will bring you to competitiveness in the league in terms of a next era to where you can contend, the young guys are looking really good. It's just not yet for me. I think you certainly have to show up to get 2 points against the Canucks, but they've dropped 4 or 5, and that blue line is not near good enough for me to take them seriously, even if they do get in with like 84 points or something gross as the second wild card. They should be selling and trying to get more young parts to complement the likes of Pettersson, Besser, Horvat, the youngsters in net, be it Demko, DiPietro, or Markstrom, wherever the future holds there for them. So, yeah, I'm expecting a really good effort and a not necessarily immensely talented team, but one that the Flames can't show up and play 2 periods and probably pick up 2 points.
Yeah, and I'm going to echo the exact same thing you talked about, Pinder, and that's the fact that if I'm a Vancouver Canuck fan, the future is really bright. I know last year even, I mean, you can't help but be satisfied with what Travis Green's done with his group in 2 years. It feels like they are just slowly climbing, and that build is coming. And, of course, this year you have the performance of Pettersson to get you even more jacked up about the future. If your goaltending can find its way with Thatcher Demko, and even if Markstrom sticks around for the next little while here, things are looking up in Vancouver. The problem is you're in a playoff race because your conference sucks. So you can't really say that they're...
How dare you?
You know,
it's mixed messaging, though. It's
exactly.
Because you're not a 95-point team, which is usually where your cutoff is. That 90 to 95 is that last team. So to go and act like an 8 seed probably isn't the responsible thing to do, big picture, as you head to the deadline. You got to act like the 10 or 11 seed where you would normally be with a season like this, right?
Right now, the St. Louis Blues, who hold down the final wild card spot in the West, are on pace for 86.7 points. So that is your cutoff for a playoff spot as it stands right now. Minnesota actually has a worse points percentage in the first wild card spot. They're on pace for 86.5. So around 87 is your cutoff as it stands right now for a playoff spot.
Fascinating to see what the Wild do at the deadline.
Yeah, they are one of the most interesting
teams. They just lost
teams.
Koivu. They clearly weren't happy with just getting in, and now you're looking at if there was another team to fall out, Colorado heats up or someone else gets going, maybe it's Minnesota. They're not that far out of it.
I would say at this point,
I wonder
if
what
I'm
Gabby's stress levels are right now.
Oh, poor Gabby.
Oof. Boudreau, I like Gabby.
I do like him. He's a good coach.
He's the anti-Carlisle.
If you're Vancouver and you're saying which team are we most likely to chase down and knock out right now? I would say I'd take Minnesota before St. Louis. I think St. Louis is a...
Bennington's been really good. Shuts out Tampa last night.
Yeah, they beat him 1-0 in overtime.
That's a monster victory for...
He's 8-1-1.
Yeah, and look, this
And I'll give credit
be...
to Francis. He was talking about how, you know, we're talking all this talk about Hart saving the Flyers season. Bennington should get just as much love in St. Louis.
Agreed.
We just didn't know much about the guy before he showed up. That's the difference, right?
Yep.
Like, he was like, oh, okay. Not Craig Billington. Bennington.
Jordan Bennington. Craig Billington. No,
different
they are
humans.
Different people.
Yeah, this is a young goalie, not an old rusty backup.
The Flames, by the way, have landed in Vancouver. Just a little bit late for our daily Flames roundtable. So they are safe and sound on the ground in Van. That is your daily Calgary Flames roundtable.
Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. Check out over 64 vehicles in the showroom while enjoying their in-house bistro and kids club. Mercedes-Benz Country Hills, just minutes from the airport.